John the Baptist. What's new to say here? He's irascible. He's cranky. You know, he's wearing animal skins. He's eating locusts and honey. He's not happy. He wants to get our attention. Blah, 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 blah. We hear about this guy every year during Advent and across the nation, indeed around the world. Ministers and priests and pastors and lay folks will be talking about John today, and they will say things that you have heard before. So I thought maybe I could do something a little bit different. And I thought about the message that he preached, particularly his paraphrase from Isaiah. Did you know that these words in the gospel were actually pretty much taken from Isaiah? They're a paraphrase. When John was preaching, he wanted people to listen to him, and he spoke words that had been heard in Israel before, during a time of exile, when the children of Israel were in Babylon, and they had wanted to go home, and they wondered what kind of future they had. And back in Babylon, the prophet we know as 2nd Isaiah had told them to prepare to make the way for the Lord, and that the God who had delivered them from Egypt out of slavery would do the same for those people in exile in Babylon. And we know what happened. God came through. With trumpets blaring and music playing, it was wonderful. But in the first century in Judah, Palestine, whatever you want to call it, Roman-occupied territory, the people once again were experiencing a form of exile. They were not running their own affairs. They were not in charge of the land. They were not able to practice their religion as they saw fit. And indeed, John felt in many ways they had been exiled from their relationship with God. So here he was telling them once again, you are exiled and you will be delivered. Great message, right? Are you ready to be liberated? Well, perhaps not yet. You see, the people are told that the mountains have to be made low and the valleys raised high and the crooked road straightened out and a road driven through the wilderness. Now, these images may not have the same impact for us today as they did for folks back then. We're used to mountaintops being torn down for clear cutting and for strip mining and valleys being filled in with debris. And Lord knows we know about road building here in the upper valley. If we had a state animal, I would suggest it should be the grader. I came here almost 9 years ago and there was construction going on over the Connecticut River. And you remember when 89 was being repaired and the bridge was being rebuilt. And then there had to be some construction work over in West Lebanon by the bridge by State Line Sports. And then there was construction work over on Bank Street, which never seemed to end. And then it went over to the neighborhood behind Jiffy Mart, which itself was rebuilt. And before we got comfortable, the people in charge of these projects decided that they would tear up Mechanic Street and the Miracle Mile. And they still haven't taken care of Kimball Street, the land of potholes. But I'm sure they will. But imagine living in a day and age where we did not have excavators and road graders and bulldozers and civil engineers and people who were skilled in laying out roads. That day was not all that far ago in the past. 150 years ago, none of these tools existed. And the idea of actually knocking off part of a mountain or filling in a valley would have seemed to be beyond imagination. It would have been the kind of thing that would have required miraculous effort. And that is what was being asked of the people. And since the story is included in the gospel, it is being asked of you and me today. During this Advent, we are called to prepare a way for the Lord. But how do we do that? Well, we can go back to the imagery around road building. And if you think of what is required, it's a lot. First, someone has to have the idea to build the road. And most of the time, that person then has to get a lot of other people to agree to build the road. Then it has to be agreed upon where the road is going to be sited. And engineers have to come in and figure out what's the best lay of the land and where's the right spot for it. Contracts have to be put out for bid. Then there might have to be some clearance. Some trees may have to be taken down. Some obstacles might have to be moved. Then the road bed has to be torn up, and then the grader has to come in, and then the other vehicles show up and they lay down the asphalt. And then perhaps a team comes through and they paint some lines and it's all beautiful. And then the power company shows up and says, "We forgot we had to do some digging here," and they tear it up. There's a lot going on. And if the road is to be built properly, it requires preparation. It requires thought. It requires cooperation. Getting ready isn't that easy. Now, sometimes if you're like me, you ask, why can't we get these roads built faster? In China, they're building a city a day. Well, we do have safety standards we adhere to in this country. And we do have quality controls, and we have labor laws. And that's part of the preparation, is making sure the people who work on these projects are safe, and that the people who drive on these roads will be safe. You and I are called during this Advent to be road builders. Now, each one of us will be called to build a different kind of road. Some of us might be called to build a brand new road, to go to a place we've not been before. And some of us will be called to stop building the road we've been working on because it's taking us to a place we shouldn't go. Maybe we are one of those people called to repair a road because infrastructure requires our attention if it is to last. And sometimes we'll have to work on the road by ourselves. And other times we will need to turn to our friends and our family and get them to join in with us. And then, of course, we'll have to compromise. But all of this road building, all of this preparation of a way is holy work. And it's work we are all called to. During Advent, we preach that the Lord is coming. We imagine him showing up as a baby in a manger. But the fact is, that event happened 2,000 years ago. So why are we talking about the Lord coming? Well, think about our world. Think about all the distractions we have. Think about the sins we like to do. And we've done a pretty good job of putting up a roadblock and suggesting to God, perhaps not now. We all remember Augustine's famous phrase, "Lord, help me stop sinning later." Well, later is now. There's always an opportunity to welcome God into our lives. There's always an opportunity to find out just what God has in mind for us, to surprise us, to challenge us, to transform us. Preparing the road is not easy. And there are other things that we could do that we might find more fun, perhaps more fulfilling. But I would argue that this kind of work is absolutely vital for us to do. So I invite you to get your hard hat, find your shovel, climb on your steam roller, whatever vehicle you want to drive. It doesn't have to be yellow. It can be some other color. But let's get to work. Let's start preparing.